You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Peter Talman. He is a geologist. He's a president, CEO, and a director of Klondike Gold Corp., and he's had many years of experience as a professional geologist, as an entrepreneur. He has 35 years, actually, something like that, of experience in the mining industry, and he's worked in Canada, Chile, Mexico, and Australia. And now in the Yukon. Thanks for joining me again today, Peter.
Thank you, Jay.
Good to have you with me. I should mention that your stock trades in Toronto under the symbol KG. You can buy it down here in the States under the over-the-counter symbol here. It's KDKGF. That's the way I purchased my shares. 96.7 million shares outstanding. I saw it at around a little under 20 cents U.S. money, giving it a market cap around $19 million, which I think is a minuscule market cap compared to what I'm hoping, believing very possibly you might be able to show to the markets in the future and maybe starting this year. So I want to ask you a little bit about what you've accomplished, what you learned from last year, and where that might be taking you in the 2018 season, your summer season when you do your exploration work up there. It's my understanding that there may be some legitimate comparison between your Klondike prospect up there in the Yukon and the very famous, or at least a very successful exploration effort at the coffee project that Kaminak had. Now, can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, that was a very successful story. I was looking at a stock chart earlier today. That stock went from somewhere around 10, 15 cents or so in 2008 to $4.50 by 2011. Now, that's a pretty darn good return. Can you share if in fact you believe there are some similarities geologically and perhaps on a project basis, if there's some similarities there between your project and the coffee project?
Well, and that's really what's come to the fore since, well, when we last spoke in October, I said we would go off and do compilation work, and that's one of the things we've been working on, is looking at basically our neighboring property, which is the coffee deposit that Kaminak had.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the units that are on our property are the same as are in the mine plan and are mineralized with gold at coffee.
Oh.
It's a different age mineralized system, but it structurally is exactly the same as what we're seeing in the Klondike. So appreciate that when we started this in the Klondike 3 or 4 years ago, that we identified a structural system or a system of faults that hadn't really been seen before. Now we know the geometry of them, at least the outline, and we're looking directly at that structural pattern that hosts all the gold at coffee, and it's the same pattern, and it has the same horsetails, and basically that same geometry. What we're lacking so far, we just realized this in the last week or so, is that we were missing what at the coffee deposit they call the link faults, and realized that all of our data that's been collected, and even historically over the last whatever since 1980, would have missed those types of structures because they're all our surveys are parallel to them. So one of the, just as in the granular detail, one of the targets that we're going to actually deliberately go out to explore for are some of these cross-cutting features that would never have been seen in the previous data. So anyway, there's lithology that we have, and we've done some thin section work and whole rock analysis, and yes, the same lithologies that we have on the Klondike are in the mine plan at Coffee. Ours are mineralized, and so we have a really big target as well to go and explore this coming year for that.
Yeah, you have a really big target, to say the least, something like 55 kilometers.
Too, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, 55 kilometers in length.
Sorry to cut you off. In comparison, yeah. the coffee project is smaller. We have a larger land package, and we have shown that these faults, whether they're linked or not, go the full distance of our district, so 55 kilometers in length, and we have multiple structures that we know are gold mineralized. And that's the priority this year, is to prove that both ends of the property are, in fact, mineralized with things that are economically interesting.
So you're going to go after these cross sections, you say, that were not recognized before. Where are you going to start focusing on a huge property? Because I'm looking at, and as I look at this thing on the map, I'm thinking, good Lord, that's just such a large target. Where will you be focusing most on? Are you going to do something over the entire 55-kilometer length, or are you going to just focus mostly on one area?
There's going to be big property, the entire property scale survey, so we want to take lots of soils, quite a bit of mm-hmm. magnetics, and for the first time ever, have it mapped. And currently on any map, it's all called the undifferentiated Klondike schist, so we need to know what lithologies are there, and that'll be done by the end of this year, too. But the focus is going to be still in the Lone Star to Nugget to El Dorado area, where basically we've done the most work, and we have some obvious places where there could be cross structures. The cross structures themselves aren't really the driving focus this year. This year is going to be at Lone Star, just to go back a bit. Last year mm-hmm. we drilled off mineralization that's at least a kilometer in length and still open, and we more mm-hmm. or less marched a drill along strike. The compilation work we've done over the winter, and we have it all now 3D modeled, we realized that the Bonanza Fault, which we knew is the control to the gold mineralization, is a continuous dipping sheet. All of our gold that we intersected last year in the drilling sits directly in the hanging wall of that fault, and it dips a considerable way, and we have kind of one lone hole 300 meters down dip on the Bonanza Fault. It has mineralization in it, and at that, for as deep as that mineralization is, it's still sitting 85 meters from surface because the fault follows the dip of the slope.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing that we get to do that Kaminak did before, you'll see from a news flow point of view, we're going to do delineation stepping down dip and just release sections. We need to know the geometry of it and whether all of that plane is mineralized.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a big dip extent that makes a perfect open pit if you look at it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the meat and potatoes, playing, as I call it, playing Battleship, the old game. You just kind of drill it on a grid and see how much gold is there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other priority then is go jump to the other end of the property at Gold Run. It's another mm-hmm. creek that has 1 million ounces or more of gold plucked from the gravels at surface with no explanation of where that came from. And we located very late in the year last year some grab samples and the geology that's identical to Lone Star 55 kilometers away. It may actually be the very same structure that is at Lone Star with considerable quartz veins, lots of visible gold, also some rocks that have disseminated gold in it, and we want to drill that too.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you've done some 3D work. You got some. Are there some 3D images that can be viewed on your website, by any chance, Peter?
Not yet.
Not yet. What's that?
Coming.
It's coming. Okay.
Yeah. We should have them up in the next. Well, now that you've poked me, I'll get them up as quick as I can. But
good. We like pictures.
In that 3D image that we saw, it was a week ago, we finally got it all together. It shows the continuity really well, and with the gold mineralization we know about it, that's a substantial advancement in our understanding, and that earned me a nice glass of wine, actually.
Good. Good for you. Well, you deserve it, I'm sure. So, the thing about when you have such a major target like this, it's good news, bad news. Bad news in the sense that it takes forever before you can start to put enough drill holes close enough together to come up with a statistical assessment of what you have in terms of grade and tonnage and so forth. When do you think and how soon do you think investors might start to see something like that take shape? Will you be focusing around the Lone Star area to come up with a deposit at some point in time, Peter? Or is that years away, months away? When might we start to see or get a sense or some hope for, finding out what you might have in the ground?
Well, and I am sympathetic to that view of, show me what you have sooner rather than later. Looking at the Kaminak timeline, basically what we're considering now is to follow that. So, they started exploring in 2008, and it was 2012, I believe, when they had a geological report, a 43-101 independent report of potential stuff. And then the following year in 2012, 2013, they had a first resource estimate. Uh-huh. And so we're going to get that work we need to get done is map the property, do some geochemistry over it all, magnetics, and that underlying fundamental geoscience. And we'll have that done this year. And the objective is to have a 43-101 initial report produced by fall based on those results. So that might be January to March of 2019. And if we will have spent the year drilling this year, we're going to drill 50 to 70 holes at least. Mm-hmm. Most of them will be on Lone Star, as you say, because Lone Star is the most obvious target that has potential to host mineral resources. So drill that off on sections that would allow us to have an estimate. That doesn't necessarily mean, in my opinion, I don't think Lone Star is going to be the best of what we can find, but it's the first. So let's get on it and get on that track of, it's very Kaminak-esque, to be honest, in terms of the timeline.
I might just point out to my listeners that whilst it was about a five-year period there where Kaminak came up with a resource finally, it was, as I looked at the stock chart, it was like 2011, not 2013 when the stock peaked. So that just to keep in mind, my listeners should keep in mind that you don't want to wait until they come out and tell you how much they've got. You got to keep up with the drill results. And Peter, you'll be having some of those coming through, I suppose. We might expect late summer, early fall?
Oh, earlier than that, I hope. So as soon as we can get on it this year, call it June 1st, we'll start drilling. So late July, if not earlier, for the beginning. And then we'll have a continuous flow through October.
All right. With just about a minute left here now, I think you've got, a couple million dollars in the bank, perhaps $2.5 million or so. Will that get you through the year, or are you going to need to raise some more money this year?
No, we have $6.5 million in.
Oh, you're $6.5 million. Good.
And we have budgeted $2.5 million this year, so it's more than what we spent last year.
Good.
And we have a provisional budget of $2.5 million for next year, and we would still have money left over to work in 2020.
Really,
we don't need funding. We also have $8 million of at or near the money warrants controlled primarily by insiders that we can exercise when we need more. So basically, if you're an investor now, you'd get 2 years worth of drilling without money raised at these prices for certain. And that's 100 to 150 drill holes worth of results.
Well, that's very important. I can tell you as a shareholder to know that, and I was forgetting that you had raised that much money earlier, that you have a couple of years worth of drilling and you don't have to go back to the well and dilute my interest. I came in at an early stage, and I think that's what's so unfair about a lot of these situations is the people that come in at the most risky time frames are the ones a lot of times that end up getting hurt the worst. But if you don't have to raise money and you've got the drill turning for the next couple of years, I think that's very good news. Anything else, Peter, before we before we call it quits today, given our time limits?
I think we have fundamentally changed the view of the Klondike. We've made some observations that no one else has looked at the Klondike in the way we have. We've identified gold mineralization that nobody has really considered worthy of prospecting before, and there's substantial amounts of it. So I think we're definitely on to something, and we can finally begin to explain the multiple sources of the Klondike alluvial placer gold.
Well, that's very exciting. Well, I really look forward to seeing you up there in Vancouver coming up at the Metals Investor Forum very soon. So, it's good news, Peter. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look to keep our listeners up to date going forward as you hopefully have some really good news coming forward in the next few months. Thanks so much for being with us again.
Thank you very much, Jay.
All right, folks, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. We're going to have William Engdahl with us to talk about some of the things going on geopolitically and how they may impact the gold markets, the markets in general, America's financial standing in the world, and so forth. So don't go away. We'll be right back with William Engdahl.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdies Reward Project. In addition, Noble has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Noble is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.